Most have probably been on the highway going through, and man, they're doing some new blasting, and it's kind of cool. You know, turn your radio off. There's blasting going on. And wouldn't it be cool to just be there and watch, you know, blowing up mountains, putting holes through mountains. And man, we're going to go live. We're going to go be able to travel right through there. There's new plans on the docket to put a tunnel that goes right underneath the Manhattan over there, somehow getting the island connected to the mainland up in New York City. And it's just incredible the things man can do. You know what? Dynamite. That's the power of God. It's dunamis. It's dynamite. It's what changes and rearranges lives. You can't help this country apart from the gospel. It's not about, oh, well, we'll just tighten our belt. It's too late. And things are going to be episodic or geographically specific. Folks, listen, your home. You ever seen those tornadoes go through towns? And you've said, man, that house is fine. That house obliterated. Think of that when you think of what's going on in our country. Only you can protect what liberty God has given you in this country. You can protect your own liberty. The Bible says where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. And it won't matter what this world does. And if you're like lamenting what's going on the international and national levels today, I want you to know something. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's liberty. And liberty is the freedom to do what is right, not what we like. And that's what it's been defined as in our country of recent days. Liberty is the right to do what I would like to do. No, because if you do what comes naturally, you'll be behaving as an animal, carnal, fleshly, selfish, me, me, mine, mine. And you'll be driven by your passions rather than by your passion for God. God would have Himself placed in the center. But look, if you will, verses 5 and 6 talks about the fact that here is why the glory departed. Her adversaries are the chief, her enemies prosper, for the Lord has afflicted her. He's talking about Judah now, for the multitude of her transgressions. Well, we're a good country. Oh yeah? Really? Really, are we? We're a good country. We're a multitude of her transgressions. 1.5 million babies every year. Fornication, forget it. It's over. It's done. Fornication is a way of life in this country today. Everybody's shacking up. The older people are shacking up. The kids are shacking up. We got everybody shacking up. Everybody's jumping from bed to bed. And the doctrine of the day is you need to test drive something before, as far as morally speaking, before you marry it. Rain on that. That is sin and it's a transgression. And God sees every one of them and He says, no, I will not overlook that. I will not look at that and see it for what it is. God didn't change just because America decided all bets are off. He will deal with this stuff. We have homosexuality on the rise. We have transgenderism going on. We've got it in the news as if it's applaudable. People are twisted. Multitude of transgressions. And I put all those things in the same category, folks. One is sin. Fornication is fornication. Shame on us as God's people if we call one sin of homosexuality worse than fornication. Because all we're doing is we're helping those who are involved in fornication feel better about their fornication. Because look at them, at least I'm not that. No, no, stop. God says it's all sin. It's called immorality. And it's an abomination because God doesn't want our young people to have their hearts ripped and torn by misbehavior in a physical, intimate way. Because of her transgressions, look what happens in verse 5. Is her children are gone into captivity. Oh, well, we just wanted to do it our way. And because we did it our way, our kids are going to do it their way to the nth degree. I was at Columbus yesterday, or a couple days ago, seeing my son. And we went out to eat, and it was a little burger joint. And this guy walks in, and, you know, I've seen quite a bit of this. Of course, we all have the mohawk spiked hair thing and the tattoos. But this guy, he had ramped it up a few notches. He had piercings. He had a piercing of a nail right through the bridge of his nose. Right through the bridge of his nose. Now, Why do I bring that up? Well, it kind of freaked me out. I was like, wow, that, you know, I wanted to say something, but I was afraid he might bite me or something. I didn't know. But I was like, I was trying not to look, but I'm like, ew, you know, like you would be probably. But here's the thing. I wonder what his parents look like. What kind of home breeds this, first of all? And it could be that they look perfectly normal. But maybe they don't believe in God. They have no need for God. They may be what you might call, and I've seen this on many occasions. We saw it in this Case for Christ video we saw here recently, where you see somebody saying, well, I really don't believe in God. Maybe because I was brought up in an age of science. And so maybe their parents were professors or scientists. But the point is that kids will always press the envelope beyond where you are. And that means that when you were a kid, you did it too. And you know you did. You rascal, you. Because we all were. But since there were no morals and there was no community anymore, and aunts and uncles lived hundreds of miles away, there was no real, you know, eyes out there watching us, all the walls had fallen on our communities. What ended up happening was, you know, we were the only compass they had. Or they were the only compass we had. And so if they weren't watching all the time and they weren't on their game spiritually and morally, what ended up happening was neither were we. But we thought, well, they're a joke. We can go further than that. And we somehow try to figure out a way to shock our parents. You want a good case in point? And that's pretty out there, this thing with the nose, right? That's pretty out there. Right through the hard bridge part of your nose. Wow. Yuck. Right? But you know, what about the kids walking around with their pants down and their underwear showing? I mean, they're walking around like that. You know why? Because they can. And because it ticks mom and dad off. Right? That's where it starts. It's somebody said it was cool. By the way, that came from prison. That started with the prisoners who got pants too big and they'd walk around like this holding their pants up. And so everybody said, well, that's cool. Look at him. He's so cool. And so they started doing it. Next thing you know, they'd get belts too. But then they'd let them wear down like that on purpose. And then it gave way to what? Girls doing it. It's out of control. Why? Because everybody wants to shock. But there comes a point where a nation forgets how to blush. And I think we're there. We don't blush anymore. The one thing that sets us apart from the animals is we blush. But we're not blushing anymore. For the multitude of their transgressions, her children are going into captivity. And the only one you can really answer for on a visceral level is you and yours. And that means you take strong stands in your home about what's right, wrong, and acceptable and unacceptable. You make it clear in the behavior that you allow, permit, and countenance in your home. It says, not only are her children gone into captivity, it says in verse 6, it says, from the daughters of Zion, all her beauty is departed. What was the beauty of Judah? The beauty of Judah was her temple, her worship. And because her temple and her worship were central, she prospered. Folks, when people extinguish God in their society, everything grows dim. Gold tarnishes. It waxes old. There's no zip, no zest. And what he's saying is he's saying her beauty departed from her. She had nothing desirable in her anymore. Verse 6. She became like her princes would flee. They would be on the run. You know, when the hedge falls down and there's nobody to support us anymore, you know, it's like we always have somewhere to go. Folks, this country is made up of all kinds of props right now. But when the bottom falls out, say North Korea over there saber rattling, right? We got it going on. Oh, well, it's cold. It's got a cold stone. Woo-hoo! And that's okay. Go to cold stone. But the point is that do we consider the gravity of our situation? They've got nuclear weapons and their one true goal, they got nothing else to do, is sitting over there sharpening their saber, trying to figure out how to get that thing from there to here on a missile. And it's been found that it's probably come from Moscow. These people got missiles from Moscow that could get all the way to the United States. Now, consider the scenario. Lamentations. Scorched earth. Could it happen? Let's say right now, an intercontinental ballistic missile hit us and knocked out the power grid. Could that happen? I think a squirrel did it a couple years ago, so I think maybe a nuclear weapon could probably do it. How many of you have got a generator? All right, now we need to get a community of generator havers around, because it might be we'll plug them in around here at the church, because I got one too. But folks, when the ice storm happened, it was like God saying, wake up, get ready. When the power went out, He's showing you how dark it can get. And folks, some of us just don't know what to do when the power goes out. So we go out and buy a generator. Amen. So we can get back up and running. We are so dependent, but if the power went out right now, we'd just have to open the blinds and let that be sufficient, wouldn't we? And that'd probably work today. But my point is it could happen. And it could happen that quick. And there'd be no turning back. And we'd be looking at it and saying, why? Where's the glory gone? How did God let this happen? And He let it happen because God is good. And because of a multitude of transgressions in this country. 1.5 million babies a year, folks. And God sees every abortion, every single one. You say, are you down on people who have abortions? Oh, man, they're so deceived out there. They don't even know what they're doing. You take a girl who's cutting herself or a guy who tries to take his life. You take people and you look at why do they do the things they do. They do it because we've extinguished our beauty. The beauty of America was her churches. Go back and read the histories of this country. When France sent people over, they would say, what was it about these people that made this revolution work? And he would conclude it was because of their churches. In their churches. These were people who were moral, and they were grave, and they were on fire, and they were lit up about a cause that they felt was right and true and just. We have none of that today. On a big scale, we don't have it anymore. And the Bible says in verses 7 and 8 that because this affliction comes, it says, Jerusalem remembered in the days of her affliction and of her misery, all the pleasant things that she had in the days of old. Why does God let the bottom fall out? To get us to remember. It's pretty cool, isn't it? God doesn't do anything by happenstance. What will it take for America to wake up and recognize the greatness she had in the days of old? You know, when I talked about that little tiny town and that huge mass of army, we are the huge mass now. We think we're too huge to be touched. But the Bible affirms over and over again that God can deliver by few or by many. It doesn't matter. If your ways please the Lord, He'll make even your enemies to be at peace with you. Our ways do not please the Lord today. And so on an international scale, we're looking for the opinions of the nations and we're saying, what do we need to do to get you to like us? And that is the same error our kids are making on the playgrounds today. What do I need to do to get you to like me? And some of them will join the chess club and become academic. Bless them. Some will join the sports team. Some will go into drugs. Some will join the sports team and go into drinking. Some will get into cars and drive fast. What is it I need to do to get you to like me? And we're doing that on a national level today. And the beauty has departed. Jerusalem, because affliction comes, will remember the blessed, pleasant things from the days of old. Not only that, but the Bible says, if you let your eye fall down to verse 8, Jerusalem hath grievously sinned. That's the second thing you see. He said, you know, multitude of transgressions. She has grievously sinned. Well, not us. We're good. We're the good people in America or in the world. Not no more. Do you know most of the pornography comes out of this country? Do you know that? We fill the world with that stuff. We fill it. When that earthquake occurred back there in 92 or something, where the World Series was going on, it wiped out about 80% or 90%, I heard, of all of the pornography industry. Knocked it right out of business for a week. 1 week. Multitude grievously sinned. Then what? Well, we take all of our media What do? Most of the entertainment in this country or in this world comes from America. Most of the good stuff comes from America. Boy, we can make movies. It's one thing we do good anymore. Make good movies, right? Well, what are the movies? The movies are two-hour sermons. Every time you watch a movie, you're watching a sermon. Can you take fire in your bosom and not be burned? Listen, folks, if you're thinking every time you turn around, oh, there's a homosexual character in there, it's only a matter of time. Somebody, I think it was somebody involved in the Marxist movement, they said, don't worry about it, I don't need the government. Just give me the arts, and I'll take over the whole country. Give me the arts. Why? Because life imitates art. And if you think you can kind of charge hell with a squirt gun and get dead, be in the next episode too, then you think you can be invincible. And you're being told over and over again not to worry about dying. I mean, you're not as bad as he is. So the real bad guy gets caught by the bad guy. And there is no good guy anymore. Because the good guy is mocked and made fun of. So you all try to lay low because you feel like, well, I'm the good guy and they'll laugh at me. What's the good guy? The good guy's a bad guy. Everybody's wearing black hats today. The hero's jumping from bed to bed, right? The James Bond thing going on. It's out there. The mentality started a long time ago. Because our children, because of our transgressions, our children have gone into captivity. And this is something that's chronic. And it's not going to be able to put the pace back into the tube. You can't do it. But you can take care of your home. And as a time of reflecting on the liberties we enjoy, we don't want to have to go to affliction to remember the golden days. That's what happened to them. Verse 8 tells us that she has grievously sinned, and at the end of the verse it says, and therefore she has turned backward. That verse actually says that because she has chased all the rest of the world, her nakedness has been seen, and now she is despised by the world, and she's so ashamed of her nakedness, Judah was, that she actually turned away from those she used to chase after. Now, we want to worship God. But what does the world want to worship? It wants to worship one world systems. It wants to worship being like everybody else and one new world order. And boy, let's just, all of our, who do you think you are being a missionary anyway? You leave those people alone. That's the mentality today. Missionaries are looked at as narrow, frowned upon. Y'all ought to Google sometimes persecutions and martyrdoms. They're going on everywhere. Somalia just had a serious episode of martyrdom. Just happened last week. But it wasn't in the national news because really, they don't want you to know it. Because if you knew it, it might get you lit up, right? Remember the 60s, where they would show the people beating down all the blacks in the civil rights movement. And boy, when they put those images on the screen, everybody got all upset. And it created some momentum. What happens if we know about what this martyrdom? What happened? Well, a guy was brought before the officials of his city. And he was told, you got to tell us where this other pastor is. Tell us where that pastor's at. Because we want to kill him. They were Muslims. And what did he say? You gotta tell us where they are, where that pastor's at. He says, I can't, I won't, I shall not. And they took his three children. And he had to flee for his life. And his wife knew they were going to kill those kids. Two of the children were beheaded. 14, 12, and 8. The 8-year-old escaped. He got back to mama. And somehow got the mama and the boy out of town, out of country. And this just happened last week. This is what's going on. And why? Because he was American? No, because he was a Christian. Because the Christians are the problem makers, you know. Now, folks, I'm telling you, not saying go get guns and mount, you know, arm up. I'm saying get right with God, get close to God, and find the glory in your own home because your home can be protected. If you'll build the hedge. Your kids are looking at a bleak future. Show them how to make life work down here simply. Teach them now. Because if you don't teach them, they're going to think they need to have it all and get it all and be it all in the next generation. And they will be able to be bought. Well, the question is posed, where did the glory go? The answer is given. Look at verse 18. And this is a very powerful center verse for us. The Lord is righteous. That's why. And that's where it went. It went because the Lord is righteous. And then this, the I in verse 18 is a personification of Judah saying, I have sinned grievously. And what happened? I have rebelled against His commandments.